It's free.
Mitch, Dave, and JT the Craft Brothers here, inviting you to the Y.O. Theater for the Craft Brothers 30th Anniversary Y.O. Show. Shows are Saturday, June 7th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, June 8th at 2. Tickets are on sale now at the Y.O. box office or at yotheater.com.
Come listen to the Craft Brothers, smooth harmonies, and welcome the next generation of Craft family musicians.
Start your summer in style with the Craft Brothers 30th Anniversary Y.O. Show, June 7 and 8 at the Y.O. Theater.
I'm Aaron Lagaki, owner of Mossholders Design Center. And if you've listened to Sheridan Media Stations anytime since the 1980s, you've probably heard our name. That's four decades of staying connected to our customers because radio works. It builds trust and keeps us in people's homes, cars, and their conversations. If you're running a local business and not using Sheridan Media, you're not just missing opportunities, you're handing them to someone else. Trust me, radio is worth it.
The following message is presented by Century21BHJ.com.
Local nonprofit Addie's Horsemanship is offering our Crossroads Guitar Workshop to veterans and first responders interested in using music to help deal with post-traumatic stress. This six-week program with local musicians kicks off with a weekend workshop at the Wagon Box in Story starting Saturday, June 7, followed by weekly lessons and a capstone event. The entire program is free. Go to addieshorsemanship.org for details.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Wednesday, June 4th. From Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan Police Chief Travis Koltiska and Captain Tom Ringley. Good morning, gentlemen, and welcome back.
Good morning. Wow, June 4th
June
already.
June 4th.
Time flying.
You know, the part that always gets me is my favorite season seems to be the shortest one in this state. Spring shows up and then it's gone. I figure by the end of June, unfortunately, that beautiful drive that I have in the morning for about a month starts to kind of turn brown and fade away.
Yeah, Mother Nature's been kind to us so far.
Let's hope
Mother Nature keeps up the moisture, which I'm enjoying thoroughly, and the cooler temperatures. So.
Yeah, I get to wear my sweaters for probably one more week before I got to take them down. How things been down at the station?
Oh, things are good. You know, we're obviously seeing the uptick that we always see with the summertime, more people out. I noticed a whole bunch of visitors in town, so we're starting to see travelers coming through. Man, there had to be about 30 or 40 Porsches in town yesterday. It was pretty cool for a rally, some sort of a rally. I didn't get all the details on it, but you know, just looking at the downtown, seeing the number of people walking up and downtown, you know, so we're starting to see it, you know, our activity kind of mirrors that of the activity of just the downtown, not just the downtown, but the entire community. You know, as more people get more active with nicer weather, our activity increases as well. So we're seeing that, but it's been good. You know, we've had an unfortunate incident happen, you know, last week, and we're working through that. But yeah, all in all, you know, things are looking good. We have an officer at the academy right now that's going through his basic training. Hunter Pope, he's a Buffalo kid. So, like, kid. Everybody's a kid to me now.
We hit a certain age.
Yeah. So I apologize. Hunter's a great young man who's going to be a good addition to our department. We're looking forward to getting him through basic training, getting him back here, getting him in the field training program. And then we have an officer candidate in backgrounds right now that's looking very promising. So those things are good things that are all on the horizon for the Sheridan Police Department, you know, getting our numbers working towards where we need to be.
And the Sheridan PD is asking for public assistance with the unfortunate incident on May 28th. What are the facts that we know, Captain?
A 66-year-old woman from Australia, unfortunately, was struck by a pickup truck, and unfortunately she passed away soon after at the hospital. What we would ask is if anyone actually witnessed the event or may have some camera footage on their residence. Of course, we've thoroughly canvassed the area, but just in case we missed somebody or someone wasn't home when we were knocking on doors, To contact Detective Sergeant John Snoozy at the police department. We know what happened, but every bit helps, and we want to make sure we do right by the poor lady that was killed. Make sure that she gets and her family gets the best service possible from the Sheridan Police Department.
Now, when it comes to individuals sharing information, maybe witness, maybe camera footage from one of those doorbell cams, what does that entail after that? Once I turn it over, may I have to go to court or something like that?
Generally, no. I mean, the more camera footage we have, the less likely things do go to court.
Yeah.
But it's people don't have to turn it over. It's strictly voluntary. But I wouldn't see if anyone did go to court, they would be probably just be asked, is this footage from your camera? They didn't physically witness an incident, and that would be about it. But that's one of the reasons we do solicit these recordings, is so we can send the county attorney's office an airtight case.
Yeah. Now, how will that scene investigation be conducted? When an incident like this happens, we cordon off the area, of course. And from my understanding, that area is still cordoned off.
No, it's open. It's okay. Been open. Any kind of predominantly any kind of severe injury or death accident, we request assistance to the Wyoming Highway Patrol and their accident reconstruction team. They have members of the Highway Patrol who are specially trained in accident reconstruction. They use I don't want to mislead anybody because I don't even know what all entails. But the things that the tools and observations and everything else that they use, they can pretty much paint a picture of kind of what occurred when we're talking vehicle speeds and exact locations. And this one's a little different because everything was still there. But you're talking high, especially when it comes to higher speed crashes involving multiple vehicles. I mean, they can tell a lot. They can gather a lot of different facts just based off of what evidence is left at the scene. In terms of, you know, the vehicles or tire marks, tread marks, there's a lot of stuff. So obviously what we're just trying to do is with any investigation is repaint the picture of what occurred, right? From the start to the end, what happened during that time as accurate as possible. And so, you know, they're really no different than any other criminal investigation. You know, we're just gathering the facts and presenting them as they occurred. But in this situation, it's a little more complex when you're talking vehicles and just trying to make a determination as to, you know, what happened at that intersection exactly without seeing it and observing it ourselves.
And just for those who may not know, this was not a hit and run.
No, it was not.
No. The individual who was operating the vehicle is cooperating fully with the SPD.
He has, and continues to do so. So that's, you know, indicative of someone who's trying to do the right thing in this situation. You know, it's cooperating with investigation, something we ask everyone to do. And it's a very, very unfortunate incident. You know, back to that camera thing too. I'm talking about cameras, and we do have we sent out a request years ago, and I'll just kind of remind the public that's listening that we asked that if there are individuals in our community or businesses, private residents, whatever, that have camera systems that are willing to share footage, we have a database. We can put your address into a database, and if an incident occurs in that area or we need to do another canvas, we have a list of people we know have those cameras that we can contact and say, hey, this occurred about that time. It was nearby your residence or your business. Could we check your cameras to see if it captured anything? So that's, and just if anybody's out there, they can reach out to Lieutenant James Hill at the police department. Say, yeah, I have a Ring camera on my house at this address. And if anything ever happens nearby and you need to ask and look at our camera, you're more than welcome to do so. So it's by no means mandatory. But if it's just a voluntary program that if anybody's willing to participate, we'd appreciate it.
And Chief, I'm glad you brought that up because it has been a couple years since we did discuss that.
Yeah.
And those are becoming much more commonplace nowadays. You're seeing them kind of pop up everywhere, and they're getting cheaper now because of that. And so, folks, if you do happen to have a doorbell camera, or maybe even that other cameras right. on your property, the volunteering to give this kind of information to the PD could be incredibly helpful. Now, how long does it usually take? I guess it would be very situationally dependent when it comes to gathering any physical evidence. Can these investigations like this go on for quite a while?
In this instance specifically, all the physical evidence was gathered before the traffic was allowed to go back through it. That's one of the things about specifically vehicle crashes and serious bodily injury and fatalities from crashes is a lot of the evidence, like the vehicles, is transportable. That's why there's a vehicle exception to the searches. And we're not going to open up traffic if there's still debris in the road that we need to collect or anything. So if the scene's open, then we've got all the evidence. And that's generally in any crime scene. And that's what this crash scene is. It's a crime scene. We won't open it up or release a property until we've got all the evidence we need. Now, processing the evidence can take some time, specifically if we are sending stuff off for analysis, like for DNA. There's a time period because we're not the only agency in the country or in the state. We have a fantastic crime lab in Cheyenne, but they process evidence from every agency in the state. So that can take some time.
And then, of course, documentation, right? Yep. Putting it all together. You know, I'm waiting for the analysis, putting together what occurred, witness statements, camera footage. So, yeah, the complexity of it can create, can make it take a little bit of time to get everything completed and submitted to the appropriate agencies, whatever that may be.
One thing, you know, forensic science has come along so much over the past couple of years. In your experience, Chief, you've been on the road for 20-some years at this point?
30.
Sorry.
Well, I'm not on the road that whole time. 30 years in law enforcement.
looking at these advancements, not only in forensic science, but computer modeling and things mm-hmm. like that, I guess, would you say it's made the job easier, or is this just more tools?
I think it's more tools. Yeah, I mean, the technology increases from even with DNA from when I started with the... when it's specific to crash reconstruction with, you know, they have crush factors of different vehicles and all the testing and everything they do. So there's a lot of tools that are, I think just more tools at our disposal. Now, it does take it takes more training, it takes a little more savvy individual to learn how to do all that. But there's DNA, for instance, there's still advancements being made in that. And it's pretty well advanced now, but there's a lot of advancements. It's continuing to evolve and continuing to grow, and so it does take more training, but it's more tools in the toolbox, I guess, that we didn't have years ago.
But the one commonality is we still have to have the right people that are yep. going to do the right thing, work hard, conduct excellent investigations, because mm-hmm. all that stuff is fantastic, but if you don't have the right person investigating, then it's all for nothing.
Yeah, I was thinking about asking you, but I figured, yeah, that was something that especially you, Captain Ringley, would chime in on, and that's, hey, these things are fantastic, but what you've got in your head yeah. is tool number one.
You have to have that drive and desire to find out what happened, and you know, we've got our John Snoozy and Carly Krenke, our main detectives, Lieutenant Hill's running the division, and Megan Phillips is in there for the summer, and they're three extremely driven people that always do their best, as do our officers on their calls
yeah.
as well.
Now, at what point do you assign a detective to an incident? So I guess, you know, patrolmen.
We have some bright line calls, serious crimes against people, from homicide, sexual assault, aggravated assault, to some white collar type crimes. But we've got a list of probably about 12 to 15 in policy, to where it says you will call CID. But a lot of it's workload, either based on the workload of the detectives or the workload of the patrol officers. If the detectives have room in their schedules, then they will take some lower calls, or sometimes it's a bunch of related lower calls for efficiency's sake. But if detectives are busy, then the officers will handle those calls themselves. It's a little bit of a balancing act when we work past those hard, fast laws that where our policy states you will call CID.
And of course, there are, you know, specific trainings that our detectives undergo, but every one of our officers out there is an investigator.
Yes. Yep. It's really just, you know, a traffic accident is same as a homicide. You go in and you collect evidence and you find out what happened and you talk to all the witnesses and you, it's an investigation is an investigation. Some may require more resources, some such as testing or time. Time's really the biggest resource that detectives have. They're not, I mean, I did it somehow. So it's obviously, it's not that complicated. But I had the time to dig into stuff and more importantly, document what I found out in a manner that can be presented to a jury. There's no doubt in my mind, any officer we have right now could go conduct an in-depth investigation, especially under the supervision of Sergeant Snoozy and Lieutenant Hill. But it's just not that complicated. A lot's made out of it. And it's just, they have the time and some training. We have heightened interview training is probably the best resource that our detectives have. We all have advanced interview training using a certain technique. But the detectives have more interview training. And not only that, they have more experience in implementing that training into really in-depth interviews, such as sexual assaults, and specifically forensic interviewing a child victim of a sexual assault is extremely specialized. And that's where our detectives can apply that to all interviews, those concepts of asking open-ended questions and making sure their questions and the information they obtain can be admitted in the court because they're not asking leading questions or putting words in people. So it's a long, it can get extremely technical, interviewing a child, but that applies. If you can get an airtight interview with a child, then you can do it to an adult too.
Yeah.
That's what I always did. It's like, well, I'd ask an adult to provide me narrative, tell me how their day is going, to prove to a jury that they're functioning properly during the interview, and then ask open-ended questions. You know, you work your way towards the, not even asking what happened, but having them tell you what happened.
Yeah.
And I'd use it on suspects too. That's where it was really, really effective.
And it's interesting that there is a standard operating procedure, an SOP behind all of this. And
yes.
Follow that and you go in with a good, solid case.
Yes.
All right. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Police Department right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
The Board of Directors of First Federal Bank and Trust is proud to announce DJ Dearcorn as our new president and CEO-elect. DJ will take over from current CEO Kevin Bailey, who will be retiring in January.
DJ has built a reputation of strong leadership, integrity, and commitment throughout his many years with First Federal.
As DJ, our management team, and staff lead us forward, we're excited for the future and grateful for the trust of the communities we serve.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Community commitment. Lifetime legacy. Member FDIC.
So my buddy asked me what I was doing with a fork in the toaster. Experimenting, I said. Well, the same goes for you tuning up or fixing your own 4x4 side-by-side or lawnmower. Because you won't do it, and if you do it, you'll do it wrong. Look, sticking a fork in a toaster ain't figuring anything out. And you ain't better off just doing nothing. I mean, you could just wait till it bursts into flames and really do it with flair. So don't experiment with your tune-up. Get it done right at Hando Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Oh, summer's here. Time to get your car ready for summer driving. Midas can help with everything from oil change to tires, steering and suspension, air conditioning, check engine lights. It's your one-stop shop for all things cars and trucks. This month, get free digital inspection when you bring your car to Midas and a voucher for $20 off any detailed service from Sheridan Auto Spa. Plus, special savings on brakes and struts. Get your car cleaned up and running great inside and out at Midas Tire and Auto in Sheridan.
Mitch, Dave, and JT the Kraft Brothers here, inviting you to the Wyo Theater for the Kraft Brothers 30th Anniversary Wyo Show. Shows are Saturday, June 7th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, June 8th at 2. Tickets are on sale now at the Wyo box office or at wyotheater.com.
Come listen to the Kraft Brothers, Smooth Harmonies, and welcome the next generation of Kraft family musicians.
Start your summer in style with the Kraft Brothers 30th Anniversary Wyo Show, June 7 and 8 at the Wyo Theater.
Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. If you were just joining us, we're speaking with the Sheridan Police Chief, Travis Koltiska, and Captain of the Force, Tom Ringley. Now, school has let out for the summer last week. Kids are out and about. What should we keep in mind?
Well, I think, you know, we touch on this every year, and I think it's important to do so. You know, there's a lot more pedestrian and bike traffic downtown, and that's what we're going to see all over the community. You know, the kids are going to be out enjoying the summer like they should. They should be outside playing, having a good time. So we're going to see a lot of that. You know, our parks are getting busier. I've noticed that myself. But just pedestrian awareness, especially considering what just occurred, but pedestrian and bicycle awareness is very critical. As drivers, we have a responsibility to really be aware of our surroundings, not be distracted by things inside our vehicle, whether it's our phones, our radios, and it's, you know, there are a lot of distractions from inside of a vehicle. And so really keeping those distractions from taking away the safe environment that you're creating by driving, it's very important to do that. And so, yeah, we just ask that people be aware of that. And kids don't always remember to look both ways before crossing the street. They don't always remember to stop on the corner or anything. If they're out playing in the yard and a ball goes across the street, they get focused and they run across without looking. So it's really important just for people to be aware and always looking ahead and looking for what what dangers could be out there when they're driving. Very critical.
It's just a good defensive driving posture, I think. Keep your head on a swivel, especially when you're going through these neighborhoods.
And keep the speeds down. You know, that's another thing. There's a lot of studies on reaction time and how the stopping distances and even a few miles per hour oftentimes makes the difference, right? If it's a 20-mile-per-hour zone, do 20. Don't do 26 because your stopping distance is different. If it's a 30, don't do 37. Your stopping distance is affected by it. And so it's very important just, you know, keep those speeds down. Be aware that there's a lot more people on foot and on bikes out there. And let's all be safe for everybody because that's what's important.
Absolutely. And, kids outside with the dogs chasing around, as you said.
And if you're late for work, you can tell your boss, hey, the chief said, got on the radio and told me to drive safe. And so
hey,
I got to buy.
You said on the radio that I'd take my time.
No,
there are exceptions.
Wow, I guess I just let that one go.
Now, you said in the first part, Chief, that the summer tourists have really kind of begun to filter in already.
Sure looked like it. Just the other day, the downtown was packed, lots of people walking through town. I had a conversation with Sean Parker the other day, and he's really out advocating for Sheridan as a destination. I know there's going to be some impacts. We're seeing some definite impacts with what's going on globally. And I think it'll impact us as well. But Sean's out there working hard every day to showcase Sheridan, what it has to offer as a destination. I think that the downtown and all the community benefits from, you know, the visitors we have every year. You know, a lot of our revenues generated for individuals in our community on other people coming and visiting. So let's keep making Sheridan a destination spot. And, you know, I've talked to people visiting before, and a lot of that destination desire comes from the community that we live in.
Yeah.
People are shocked on how friendly our community members are, how receptive and how open and how gracious. And we need to maintain that. And that's that, because that's a draw. You know, not only do we live in God's country, one of the most beautiful areas I've ever known, But, you know, it's the people here are a draw to us as well. And so that's a good thing.
It's welcoming, you know, and understanding that simply saying hi to maybe an individual and their families as they're walking by you could be a very pivotal moment for some visitors. You know, they may come from a place where that is just an alien concept. And then to see that here, you know, it does make an impact. These smaller things do make an impact. Captain, you've been on the road for a number of years as well. Many individuals used to use Sheridan as kind of a stop on their way to someplace else. Have you seen a significant change through the years as Sheridan has become more of the destination and less of the pass-through?
I haven't. It's all anecdotal. One thing I haven't seen from my time on the road is, you know, often looking at the news, you have people complaining about tourists and taking up space. I've never heard that once in Sheridan. I think part of the reason people are so accommodating here is we basically want to do our own thing and be left alone. And that includes, well, we don't care. People in Sheridan don't seem to care where people are really from. If they're treating each other decently, then the positive experience comes out of it.
Yeah.
And I can't think of one report of a crime where someone was, the word tourist was ever mentioned. I mean, you have several meeting places downtown, some very, very famous, and tourists go there and locals go there, and we never hear have any issues.
Yeah.
Between people that are from here or are not from here. It's everyone's just out to enjoy themselves and be respectful of each other's spaces and just have a good time, which is what Sheridan should be all about.
Absolutely. Now, the Krinke Park dedication, a fantastic memorial for a great individual. What would you like the public to know, Chief?
Oh, I'd like to invite the public to come out for the public dedication. I read the resolution, and it was approved and adopted by the Mayor and City Council on Monday. So it is officially a public park, but we're having a public dedication on June 10th at 4 o'clock p.m. The park, for those that don't know, is right there in front of the police department at the corner of 12th and North Main. And it'll be a you know, opportunity to actually do the public dedication and for just a myself and Mayor Bridger to say a few words and read the resolution and welcome everyone for all the support that's gone into the creation of the park. You know, it took a lot of planning, a lot of cooperation. That land was deeded to us by the county, so we could create the park. So, but the leadership that from the city, from the city administrator and the governing body's support has been phenomenal. The work put in by our public works and our utilities department and our parks department. It's just been a very great collaborative effort amongst a lot of different entities to make this come to fruition and as a positive reminder of Sergeant Krinke.
I imagine it was probably very somber, but an honor for those public work individuals to be able to work on something like this for Krinke and his family. I'll bet that is something that they will remember in their careers for the rest of their lives. I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning and speaking with me. Just so people know, when exactly is that dedication one more time?
June 10th, 4 o'clock p.m.
All right, folks. So there you go. Head on down there and show your support for this brand new, amazing park in memory of Sergeant Nevada Krinke. Stay safe out there as we go into a hopefully very busy summer.
So far, you know, take it one day at a time and enjoy ourselves and respect each other and just enjoy Sheridan.
Absolutely. When we return, we're going to speak with the chair of the Johnson County Commission, Mr. Bill Novotny. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
At At First Federal Bank and Trust, we believe leadership starts with heart. That's why we're proud to announce DJ Dearcorn as our new president and CEO-elect. DJ will take over from current CEO Kevin Bailey, who will be retiring in January. DJ's journey with us has been built on trust, character, and a deep commitment to the people we serve. As he steps into this new role, we look forward to the future, guided by a leader who's grown right here with us.
First Federal Bank and Trust. Community commitment. Lifetime legacy. Member FDIC.
They're your neighbors, ranchers, mothers, teachers, adventurers, and they just happen to be incredible artists. Join Expressions Art Gallery June 4th through the 7th this week from 10 to 5 on Wednesday and Thursday and 10 to 4 on Friday and Saturday. A special show featuring six local artists with decades of creativity. From stunning landscapes to expressive figure drawings, beautiful art, and catering by Designing Dinners and Sagewood North Cafe. Brushstrokes through time, June 4th through the 7th at Expressions Art Gallery, celebrating community through creativity.
Face it, you don't want to do your own plumbing and heating work or repair. You need a professional, and that is exactly what you will get if you work with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. Being fully licensed, bonded, and insured, you can rest assured that they will take care of your repairs and maintenance in the very best way possible. Call Rapp Plumbing and Heating at 429-1196 and rest easy knowing it'll be done right. This is Dan Rapp with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. And as we like to say, if you find a leak, let me take a peek.
Branded with quality, Shipton's Big R. It's all right here, everything you need, Shipton's Big R.
Dads are born from work. Carhartt Force t-shirts are built for heat. At Shipton's Big R, and just in time for Father's Day, all Carhartt Force t-shirts are now 25% off. They stretch and breathe better. Hey, it's hot outside. Carhartt Force pocket t-shirt technology fights sweat and dries fast so your dad can stay cool and comfortable. You know, not only dads, maybe you also need to take advantage of great savings. And what an assortment of colors. Shipton's Big R is stocked with your size. Now through June 15th, all Carhartt Force pocket t-shirts are 25% off and available at Shipton's Big R on Sugarland Drive in Sheridan.
Branded with quality, Shipton's Big R.
Looking for a trusted and reliable website hosting partner? Sheridan Media has expanded our digital services to include website hosting. Whether you're launching a new site or need hosting services for your current website, we can help. You'll receive unlimited bandwidth, enhanced security features, automatic backups, and most importantly, local customer service. Call Sheridan Media to learn more and get your website hosted by people you know and trust. 672-7421.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you thanks to First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, we are speaking with the Johnson County Commission Chair, Mr. Bill Novotny. Good morning, sir, and welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. It's good to visit with you, even if I'm in Buffalo and you're in Sheridan.
How is it over there in Buffalo? It was a little chilly leaving this morning.
Yeah, you know, for summertime, we really appreciate the rain, but if we could maybe just turn the heat up a little bit, just to keep it comfortable.
How have things been over there in Johnson County, sir?
You know, obviously we're going into summer. We were real worried about precipitation, the snowpack on the mountain, regrowth out in our burn scar where the house draw fire was, but all in all, Mother Nature's kind of helped out at the perfect time. So, you know, I think going into summer, we're in good shape. Certainly, it helped with the Main Street construction by not having a lot of rain delays, but also getting some rain when we needed it. So I think all in all, we are in pretty good shape, Floyd.
Now, I spoke with Sheridan County Weed and Pest and kind of got an idea on the way that these invasive weeds will kind of unfold over the course of the next couple of years. How has Johnson County Weed and Pest been watching the house draw fire scar? Are they out there quite consistently?
They are, Floyd, and they have started doing some of the annual invasive work that they do normally in county road right-of-ways and on private ground on county property, as well as doing that work out in that burn scar. Right now, it's a little premature to really start hitting that hard, because they're trying to get some of those areas that are in the process of regenerating to come back so we can see what we actually have. That chemical that they treat those areas with is expensive, so they want to be really smart and really targeted how they're applying it. But Alan and his team are out there working now, as well as folks from the conservation district, our partners in the NGO world, whether it's Pheasants Forever or the Wyoming Game and Fish, all sorts of folks out there working, trying to get that area to recover.
You know, and I really want to emphasize the importance of taking these measures to the communities, because we are an agriculture area, and it is so vital that these burn scars are not overtaken by these invasive weeds, which seem by Mother Nature to have a hand up over more natural vegetation.
They really do. You know, these grasses that we're worried about come in from other parts of the country, other parts of the world, and just have a natural advantage over the stuff that is native to this area. So if we can just make sure that those Ventanata doesn't continue to move down out of Sheridan County into Johnson County into that scar, and also that seeds that were in the dirt for years don't get an opportunity to germinate and come in there and grow, whether it's leafy spurge or any of those other nasty grasses.
Yeah, so folks, you will hear here on Sheridan Media, we'll talk about this quite a bit in the coming years, both with Johnson County and Sheridan County, and that's because it is so vital that this war on invasive grasses goes our way. And I'll do my best to keep everybody informed on that, because it is incredibly critical for our agriculture community. Sir, has the county begun its mosquito control measures? I know we certainly have over here.
Well, I heard that you guys are fogging. I don't believe City of Buffalo's got their equipment out yet, and certainly Weed and Pest has started their efforts, but I don't believe they're spraying mosquitoes quite yet. Again, you need a little of that heat to make those little vampires really pop, but they will be ready, whether it's that or certainly as well. We'll be watching for grasshoppers this year as well. The last thing we want to see is that beautiful growth of grass come up out in that burn scar and then see it get mowed down by the grasshoppers.
Yeah, I forgot. You guys really have trouble with those little pests quite often. There can be somewhat of an epidemic of those little guys jumping around there, can't there?
It can, and it's one of those, it's a cyclical deal, and they've got a really cool chemical that they use that doesn't allow the grasshopper to molt out of its shell and grow, and it just, they kind of die, which is gotta love. I guess that's bio warfare against the grasshoppers.
Now, switching gears on you, does Johnson County experience much flooding during the spring season, or is that something that you don't have to be too concerned about?
Well, Floyd, we do, and that's as you see these thunderstorms, everybody needs to be vigilant, whether it's watching for hail. But yes, we are prone to some flooding in some certain areas. Certainly the Clear Creek drainage, we've seen flooding in that before. But even places out like Dead Horse, where you know, you're pretty close to the Powder River, and that drains massive areas. And you get an afternoon thunder bumper with a little bit of rain, and suddenly you've got a head of water. So yes, we're very prone to flooding this time of the year with those thunderstorms.
Is it looking like it's not going to be as big of an issue this year, or have you gotten a report from emergency management on that as of yet?
You know, we haven't had a report on from our emergency manager, Jimmy Catlin, on that. He's just as the Sheridan County and the Campbell County emergency management coordinators, they've been extremely focused on getting a project underway to map all the coal seam fires in the three county area. So that's kind of where his focus is, but I certainly know he's watching the weather reports whether it's possibility for tornadoes, flooding, everything. So just because it's summer doesn't mean we're out of the wild weather.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now you said coal seam fires. I would kind of curious about that. What exactly is that? What details do you have?
We know in certain places where the coal seams that are underground, they're on fire. And some of them have burning for hundreds of years. Some of them are recent ignitions. Sometimes it happens by lightning strikes. When you had the house draw and some of the other fires that happened in Camel County go through, if you have coal that's exposed up at the surface, it can catch fire, and then the fire can go underground. And so in an effort to mitigate future problems, we're just trying to make sure we know where all the fires are at, including new coal seam fires that were ignited by all the fires over the last summer.
Wow. Wow. That thought never crossed my mind until now, but what a job to I mean, that would have to be a vast duty to try and find that or at least detect those in various locations. Certainly has his work cut out for him. I'm going to switch gears on you here real quick, sir. Let's talk about some work being done. Crazy Woman Canyon Road. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. This is going to be closed for the whole summer or just part of it.
At this point, Floyd, it looks like, and again, it's contingent on contractors, that we will have a closure until this fall. The project is really two parts. So Johnson County has a bridge that goes over Crazy Woman Canyon Road that then extends up to where you hit the forest line, and then that becomes a forest road. And further up the canyon, then the Forest Service has two bridges up there. And so in an effort to minimize impacts, and only have one closure rather than multiple closures, they're going to replace, and this is actually underway right now, the county's bridge that goes over Crazy Woman. And then as soon as that contractor finishes with our bridge, he's going to move his equipment up the canyon and replace the two bridges that are the Forest Service. So, it's unfortunate that it's going to be an interruption, but there's just no way to detour traffic in the canyon or allow people to travel during non-work hours because the bridge is out.
Yeah, and that's one thing I for those individuals who haven't gone up Crazy Woman Canyon, first off, it's probably one of the most beautiful locations I've ever been in Wyoming. But it gets a little narrow. There really is no location where you can kind of set off a side road like we do on other county roads as they get this bridge done. So, unfortunately, while this is being done, we're just going to have to kind of seal that off for the year, which I can also understand the public's, reaction to this because, wow, what a great place to go up and look at, especially in the spring. Everything is green. Everything is beautiful. And then the water flowing down. It was one of the places I took my wife first when we moved here. I wanted her to see that. Now, what about other county roads? So Johnson County got a lot of county roads that you've got to manage, sir?
We do. There's over 500 miles of county roads in our inventory. And so the road and bridge crew, and we've got nine operators that are out there working right now to get those roads plowed. They spend all winter keeping those open, keeping the snow off of them, and now they're out there getting the crown on those roads so that they drain when we do have moisture, that they're getting the washboards out. They're up working hard on Hazleton Road. We opened that after Memorial Weekend, and so I know people are anxious to get up on Hazleton and enjoy that road, but please give our guys that are working plenty of space up there and understand they're working just as quick as they can. One of the other things, Floyd, I know people are always concerned about potholes. And as soon as the county can get hot mix, we'll be out filling all the potholes that have emerged this year. But we don't have access to hot mix until they start producing it. And we're hearing that probably it will be the end of this month or early July before we're going to have access to any hot mix. So just please understand, we know where those potholes are, and just as soon as we've got the material that we need to patch those, that we will.
Sir, is there a reason why such a late access to that hot mix is taking place?
We're dependent on batch plants, and so other road projects, they're going to be using a lot of hot mix in the Main Street project, and just like scheduling the guy to do your concrete, you got to get in line and wait for your turn.
How is the Main Street progress going? My trip home is pretty quick, right off the freeway, down the road a little bit, and I turn the corner. How's it looking out there?
You know, Foot, I think they're making good progress. Obviously, it's nice that the downtown corridor is open. Certainly, it's a little more challenging for folks that are going to try to patronize those businesses that are a little further down, whether it's the greenhouse, the real estate offices, a couple of the beauty shops. So please, if they've got a back door, use it, use that side parking, but just bear with this project and continue to support your Buffalo businesses. And we'll also hope that as they start digging into that infrastructure and changing out sewer and water lines, they don't find anything unanticipated.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a quick job could turn a lot longer, couldn't it?
It really could. And, you know, that section that they're working on now, that's some of the original section of Buffalo. Those are old homes. So it's been a while since they've been digging sewer and water and connections there. So you just hope we don't find something they didn't plan for.
Now, budget season has fallen upon us. How are things looking?
Sure. We've completed our second day of budget hearings yesterday, and we've heard from a couple of the different departments, a couple of the elected officials, and just as everyone is aware with their own shopping, whether it's groceries or gas, some things are still up in price and haven't come down from inflation, and then gas prices are looking a little better this year than they did last year, so certainly that helps, but we're scrutinizing. We literally go line by line through the budget through each department and look at every dollar that gets spent, and we'll spend the entire month of June going through the budget, Floyd, so it's a long process. It's thorough, but it's also I think a great process because it forces everybody to justify every position, every dollar that gets spent, and every project they're going to do. So those hearings are open to the public. They're usually on Mondays and Tuesdays. They go all day. People are welcome to come into the commissioner's chambers and listen to those. It's just a good process.
Sir, have there been any signs of things to come from the legislative actions taken on property taxes earlier this year?
Well, we'll definitely see a reduction in our revenue, and so it is forcing us to make some choices between work that we wanted to do and stuff that we're just not going to be able to do. We continue to plan and save for capital construction out on Rock Creek Road. We've got some continued facility work that we want to do out at the fairgrounds. So it just unfortunately may push some of those projects back a little bit. And you just hope that when you push those back a year or 2 years, that you're able to keep up with the cost of inflation and the cost of construction, and that a project doesn't get less attainable to get done.
You and I spoke about the veterans' home quite a lot during the legislative session. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that as things turned out the way that they did.
You know, that was really unfortunate that the House and the Senate couldn't agree to fund. They all agree that they need to complete the renovation of the domiciliary. It's a risk to the residents that live up there. There's health and safety issues. There's access issues, but Unfortunately, it wasn't a priority of the Wyoming legislature, and I think that's really unfortunate that they aren't prioritizing our veterans and those folks that are vulnerable. And I hope as the Appropriations Committee starts to put together the biannual budget, I hope the money is there to get the work done at the domiciliary. It's long overdue. We've got a great staff up there who takes incredible care of those residents. But those residents deserve to have basic amenities, your own bathroom, working elevators, just things that really aren't acceptable.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you, sir. I do want to thank you so much for calling in this morning. It's always a pleasure. I feel like it's been too long since you and I got an opportunity to sit down and talk. So it's good hearing from you, sir.
It is always good to talk with you, Floyd, and visit about what's going on.
You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Compass Center for Families.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Warmer weather means it's officially roofing season, and Branded 307 is getting to work. If your home was hit by the hail last year and you haven't had your roof inspected, now is the time. Most insurance companies only allow for 1 year from the date of loss to file a claim. After that, the cost could be out of your pocket. Whether you're looking to replace your shingles or want to upgrade to an impact-resistant metal roof, visit Branded307.com or call for your inspection today. Branded 307, branding one home at a time.
Mitch, Dave, and JT the Kraft Brothers here, inviting you to the Wyo Theater for the Kraft Brothers 30th Anniversary Wyo Show.
Shows are Saturday, June 7th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, June 8th at 2. Tickets are on sale now at the Wyo box office or at wyotheater.com.
Come listen to the Kraft Brothers, smooth harmonies, and welcome the next generation of Kraft family musicians.
Start your summer in style with the Kraft Brothers 30th Anniversary Wyo Show, June 7 and 8 at the Wyo Theater.
Got a dream too big for the garage? Your business is growing and you need to step up your game. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums are customizable warehouse spaces designed for trades, startups, and small businesses. They are ready to scale with high ceilings, large bay doors, and owner-friendly built-ins. More than a workspace, it's a foundation for your future. Synergy Shop-O-Miniums. Own your space and build your business. Located near everything at 72 East Ridge Road. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates for a walkthrough.
Jackalopes Explore Project Bluebeam.
Those people over in India, they're going to see something probably having to do with Hinduism right. In the sky, and they're going to think that their messiah or their gods are returning.
And see, the thing I have about that, though, is like that requires some sort of mind control or something.
Yeah.
And if you're doing that,
like
why
hypnotism,
even,
maybe?
Why even have the holograms?
Why bother?
Put it right into the brain.
Explore more with Jackalopes Explore on the podcast page at SheridanMedia.com.
This public service message is presented by BHJ Property Management at 101 South Main.
Get outside in fun, healthy ways on Sheridan Community Land Trust Community Trails. With 30-plus miles on the Soldier Ridge Trail System, Red Grade Trails, and the Green Room, plus more than a dozen access sites on the Tongue River Water Trail, it's easier than ever before to go from your front door to the outdoor.